All right. Century. All right. Don't sit down. We're going to read God's word. Thank you again. I appreciate that. Let's all stand. Take your Bible. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to read verses 1 through 6. I'll ask you to join me on the odd number or even number verses. I'll read the odd number verses. And as you're turning there, New England does have a great need. There are 20 cities of 60,000 people or more that do not have an independent fundamental Baptist church. When we went to New England, Pastor Dave Carlson's the one that was instrumental in getting us to New England. I told the Lord when we were looking to go, Pastor, please don't send me somewhere more liberal and colder than Maryland. So God has a sense of humor. He sent me to Massachusetts. And we love it there. And I hope through the message today, you'll get a burden on your heart to do what God wants you to do. Hebrews chapter 11, got to get my binoculars out here. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for him that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them diligently seek him. Let's pray and you can be seated. Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you for Hiles Anderson College. Thank you. I believe the hope of America is right here. Lord, I pray today we would be convicted, challenged, and I pray we would be changed. We would come out of our comfort zone and live by faith. In your precious name, amen. You can be seated. When I started to pastor in Massachusetts, I had people often ask me this question. They'd say, Pastor, what about people in this country or that country who have never heard the gospel? What chance do they have? And because of that question, I developed a series of lessons we taught. And I want to go through that as the introduction real quickly. But the fifth point is what we're preaching on this morning and going to spend some time. By the way, these five biblical answers, I believe, are all the apologetics you need. Far too many young people today are being turned by intellectualism and many other things. And I'm not against apologetics. I know a lot of people. But I believe the best line of apologetics is the Word of God. So I want to give you five things real quickly that we taught on. I taught on God's light, which is John 1:9. He's the true light, which lighteth how many people? Every man that cometh into the world. Now, why is that important? Because in John 8, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He tells us in John chapter 5, so let your light so before men that they may see your good works and glorify who? Your Father which is in heaven. Now, why is that important? Because Jesus is the light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. You say, can you prove that, Pastor? Yes, I can. There were three Hebrew boys that were faced with bowing to the false image of a godless king who worshiped himself. And they said, in fact, if you don't bow down and worship my God, you're going to burn. And those three Hebrew boys stood with their faith, realizing they were condemning themselves to a death sentence. But can I remind you, when you serve the Lord Jesus Christ, whether it's life or death, as the Apostle Paul said, it's glory to do that. Nebuchadnezzar threw those three boys, and in fact, you know the story. The furnace was so hot, it slew his soldiers. But Nebuchadnezzar looked into that furnace, that godless atheist king who never had a Bible, never had anything taught to him about the Word of God, and said, I see three walk. Wait a minute, there's a fourth. And lo, he looketh like the Son of God. How did he know that? Because the light that God gives every man. Quickly, I'll run through the next four, and the last one's what we're going to preach about this morning. God's light, God's learning. Romans 1:20 says, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, so they are without excuse. I love Psalm 19. Day unto day uttereth knowledge, night unto night showeth, or day unto day uttereth speech, night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Number three is God's leading. So we have God's light, God's learning, God's leading. And that's simply Romans 2 that talks about our conscience. How is it that people know right from wrong? You know, the end of atheism is murder. Murder's okay if you're an atheist. That's why they murder innocent babies. That's why they think that this guy that just murdered a CEO of a health company did the nation a service. Boy, that's wrong this morning. That is sin. God's leading our conscience. Number four, God's love. Titus chapter 2 and verse 11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to... Okay, that's good if we're in a Presbyterian college, but the last time I checked, this is a Baptist college. And so I have that trouble in New England. When we first got to New England, started preaching and teaching, if people agreed with you, they would maybe shake their head a little bit. And then the second year, we got to a holy grunt. Now we actually have gotten to the place where they will actually talk back to me in the service. And it's great because the new people that are from New England come to our church and they're looking around like, what's going on here? These people are quoting the Bible. Yes, it's the Word of God. God's love says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to who? Amen. Fellas in the amen section, you can wake up and join us. My daughter, I'm Joyana's dad. You can remember me like that. And she said, Dad, don't embarrass me. And I said, well, you're my baby girl. I wouldn't embarrass my baby girl. So love you, little girl. Enough of the sweet stuff. John 3:16, God so loved the world. Number five, and what we're, our text verse is God's law. So in answer to that question, what happens if nobody has ever heard? They have those five testimonies from the Word of God. God's light, God's learning, God's leading, God's love, God's law. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. You know, young people, and even when I was here at Hiles Anderson College, a lot of times your service can become substitute for your faith. You never want to do that. You want to make sure that your faith is your foundation. Romans 3:27 says, where then is boasting? It is excluded by what law of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. When we talk about faith, faith defined in Webster's 1828 dictionary says this, believe in a person and trust in a promise. When we went to New England, one thing I've run into a lot is even Baptist pastors getting into Calvinism. It's just amazing to me. I've seen two things, those that go into Calvinism and those that follow the charismatics. And they said, boy, you can't preach and you can't go soul winning. I had an independent, well-meaning fellow, thankfully wasn't from Hiles Anderson College, pastor, when I first got there, Brother John, he said, look, let me help you out, Brother Jim. Don't go door knocking. It doesn't work here. And I said to him, I don't go door knocking because it works, and because it doesn't work, I go because God commands it. Faith is belief in a person, trust in a promise. Now, you could disagree with me if you want, but you'd be wrong and I'd be right. And when we get to heaven, I'll stick my tongue out at you. John Calvin, in his Institute, said his salvation was based on his baptism as a baby. Now, the last time I checked, you don't get saved by being baptized. On the other side of it, the ecumenicals love to follow C.S. Lewis. Now it got real quiet. Read what C.S. Lewis said in his own words, that when his logic and intellect were satisfied, he accepted Christ. Now, why do I have a problem with that this morning? Because if you read all through his writings, not one place, not one, does he say, I'm a sinner deserving hell, and Jesus Christ saved me by faith. You don't get saved by your intellect, and you don't get saved by having every question answered. You get saved by faith. So let me jump into six statements. I'm going to try to cram this all in as quickly as I can. Number one, the requirement of faith. I want you to take your Bible and go to Jude chapter 1. There is only one, I hope you Bible college students. Jude verse 3. If you haven't found it by now, just look intelligent. Jude 1, 3. Beloved, when I gave diligence to write unto you the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should what? Earnestly contend for the faith, which was once delivered to the saints. There is nothing new under the sun. Young people, when you get out there, there are a lot of people using a lot of methods, but the only one that works is the Word of God. And you better make sure that you have a King James Bible. Now, I've had people, well-meaning people, say, well, Pastor, if you preach from the King James Bible and you preach salvation and separation and you preach all the things you're going to preach, nobody's going to attend our church. And I said, it's not my job to build the church. The last time I checked, Matthew 16 said, Jesus will build the church. My job's just to be faithful to His program. By the way, I think we did okay. Last Easter, our church was so packed, we had to go to two services for this Easter. God's the one that does the work. Three things real quickly that require faith. Faith, first of all, for salvation. Faith for salvation. For by grace are you saved through, and that not of yourself, it is a... Number two, faith for sanctification. Acts 26 says to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sin, and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith. Number three, faith for separation. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. Faith for salvation, sanctification, separation. Why is that important? We're to contend for our faith. We're not to be contentious about our faith. We're also not to compromise our faith. If it looks like a duck, flies like a duck, quacks like a duck, what is it? And if a church looks like the world, dresses like the world, talks like the world, and has worldly music, it's not a household of faith. There's too many Christians today adopting the world's methods. Sadly, you look back, the disciples died for it. Those that delivered our faith have died for it, but we can't find Christians that'll live for it. I'm glad there's colleges like this one, but especially Hiles Anderson, where you're taught by a loving staff to live for it. Make it important in your life. The faith that was once delivered to Brother Hiles, by the way, Dr. Lee Robertson, Lester Roloff, just by way of those of you who are here, how many of you have ever heard a sermon by Lester Roloff? Raise your hand. Some of you ought to get on the internet, and instead of getting on Facebook, why don't you get on a sermon website and listen to Lester Roloff preach? Dr. Tom Malone, and of course, Pastor John Wilkerson. I want you to listen to this statement. We do not worship men, but we do honor men and women for their faith. I'm pretty sure the last time I checked Hebrews chapter 11, God put a whole list of men and women that he honored for their faith. Sometimes we confuse that in that we think somebody is putting a pastor or somebody on a pedestal. And Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. And we need to make sure. You know, I'm not against good music. I'm not against music that is newer as long as it meets Ephesians 5:19, Colossians 3:16, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now, I may upset a few people, but that's okay. I do it every Sunday. I'm not going to change now. I've been doing it since I was 16 years old. I'm not going to change it now. We need churches where the people that lead the music are old-fashioned, fundamental, independent Baptists that stand up and lead the hymns, pray about what they do. We don't need five or six cute people standing over here, swaying back and forth with a tear running out of their eyes, singing some music that I don't recognize. And I'm talking about Baptist churches I've been in. I don't recognize a thing they're singing. I think they're singing to Jesus, their boyfriend. Now, the last time I checked, he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we do not need to adopt the world's methods to get the world into our church, or all you're going to have is a worldly church. We need to understand that requirement of faith. Number two, the request of faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Brother John was just talking about the bus ministry, and I'm still trying to let go of the bitterness I have toward him for taking my best lady bus worker. It's been 30-some years, but I'm working on it. Pastor Dave Carlson, who's been my best friend in New Hampshire, and he was on my bus route. He and I were the only two workers on the bus route. You'll appreciate this. My bus division leader says, Brother Jim, I'm giving you two buses. Fill them for tomorrow. And I said, what? We filled one bus last week. He goes, no, you're getting two buses. Brother Edgars, did you know we didn't have two drivers? I did not have two drivers. We had no lady bus workers. It was just me and Brother Dave. And we went out and visited for 10 hours. We met on Augusta Avenue in Kedzie, the middle point of our route. And between us, after 10 hours of visiting, we had 69 signups. And I said, 69 signups is not going to fill two buses. I said, where's the little boy with the bread and fishes? We got down on that sidewalk as people were walking by us, and we began to pray. We said, God, we've done everything we can for this big day tomorrow. God, you're going to have to bless it. And boy, we continued to pray there for a while. Went home just trusting God. At 11 o'clock Saturday night, I got my second driver. We went out Sunday morning. He picked up his half the bus route. I picked up my half the bus route. We met on that exact same spot. He had 69 people in his bus. I had 72 people on my bus. We had 141 people. You talk about two Baptists having a Bapticostal fit. We did. I don't care. We were out there rejoicing. Where'd these kids come from? I don't know. Well, there are a few. I said, make sure you get all their names and addresses, Brother Dave. Boy, we had a great time. I could spend the whole time, but I won't. I've got to hasten on. My senior year of Bible college, I just married my wife. And I've got to tell you this one real quickly. Working at pastor school, selling the books, there was a guy working beside me. And he introduced me to his girlfriend. And when she walked away, I said, if you don't marry her, one day I will. And I don't remember the guy's name. What was his name, hon? I don't know. I don't remember. Yes, I do. Trent made the biggest mistake of his life by introducing her to me. 3 years later, I did marry her. And so, you give her a hand, she's going to get crowns in heaven for putting up with me. I'll tell you that for sure. I love hunting and fishing. I love it. I don't have enough time to do it. I got to tell you a quick story, though, the request of faith. We lived on 73rd Street in Maryville, rented a farmhouse, working the bus ministry. My senior year, didn't have time to really go deer hunting the way you ought to. You've got to go scout the area, set up good sites, all that. Didn't have time to do any of that. And I told my wife, I said, if we get a check for $13, God answered my prayer, and I'm going deer hunting. Monday, we got a check for exactly $13. You know how I know it was a miracle? My mother-in-law sent it. I got to hasten on. We've got a lot of ground to cover. Literally, 5:30 in the morning, opening hunting day, Dave Carlson and I went down to the farmer's field. I climbed up a tree here. He climbed up a tree here. 5:45, the sun was just coming up. Some of you might want to check. That really does come up in the morning. I was up in the tree, and I said, God, you provided the money for the bullets. You provided the deer license. I said, my wife and I, college students, rice and beans for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Some of you will know what that's like. And I said, Lord, it sure would be nice if you brought a deer in answer to that prayer. I looked up and saw the most beautiful thing I have ever seen other than my wife. The deer was working its way up the creek, and I mean, it was on a string coming straight to me. And Brother John, I thought, well, great, it's a doe. I'll have some deer meat. We'll be able to enjoy our winter this winter. But when that doe raised its head to come across the creek, it was an 8-point buck. I don't know if I need to tell you the rest of the story, but I took my Sears and Roebuck single shot 12 gauge for $70, pointed it right at Bambi. You say, Pastor, Does that not pull your heartstring? No. At the last second, Bambi looked right up at me, eye to eye. But you know what Bambi's problem was? I was winking. And when he looked up, that 12-gauge did its own work, and that slug went right into his heart, and he was gone. Another time, we had a Bapticostal fit. Brother Dave and I were enjoyed that. But what am I saying? God's going to answer your smallest request. He'll answer your big ones. Number three, the response of faith. And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God." We got far too many churches that want to be like Apple, AT&T, and Amazon. I had a pastor tell me, "Well, Brother Jim, our philosophy here is Walmart. We're going to shut down all the small churches to grow our church." And I said, "That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says we grow the church by faith. Read your Bible by faith. Pray by faith. Go soul winning by faith." Quickly underneath that, I think of a guy named Eric Weinmayer. I don't know if you've ever heard of Eric Weinmayer, but he was on the cover of Time magazine in 2001, climbed Mount Everest. You say, "Well, big deal. A lot of people do that." The first time he tried to climb, he slipped and fell 150 feet, and the shock to his body caused fluid in his lungs immediately. They had to medically evacuate him off of Mount Everest, but he went back and climbed it again also. He climbed the seven summits. Only 150 men have ever done that. Climbed the seven summits, Kilimanjaro, Mount McKinley in Alaska, Mount Everest. Here's the difference. Eric Weinmayer, at 8 years old, lost his sight. He was the first blind man to ever climb those seven mountains. You say, "Pastor, why do you share that?" Because if a blind man has enough faith to climb seven mountains like that, maybe you and I ought to have enough faith to trust God for the mountain we're facing. Number four, we see the release of faith. "But without faith, it is impossible to please Him." I don't know if you've ever read the life of George Mueller. But I would encourage you to do that. Man, it'll challenge your faith. Incredible story. But I like the story in Acts chapter 12. The church all got together. They were praying for Peter. They said, "Let's pray for Peter. God will deliver Peter." And boy, they're praying it up. They're praying a storm up. Boy, they're just praying it up. And then they hear a knock on the door. Little girl goes to the door. You know the story. And they said, "Stop bothering us, Rhoda. We're praying." And she said, "Well, you don't understand. It's Peter." And they said, "No, we got to go back to praying. It's Peter's ghost." And they knocked on the door again. And Peter was there. And the Bible says they were astonished. Hey, that's the kind of prayer life I want to have. I may not be able to pray things down like George Mueller, but I think like the church in Acts, I can pray, trust God, and be astonished every time He answers that prayer. Be astonished. Number five, the reality of our faith. Hebrews 11:1, "Now faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." David's faith led him to defeat a giant. Gideon's faith led him to defeat an enemy that vastly outnumbered him. And by the way, we're vastly outnumbered, but we can trust the Lord. Samson's faith led him not to fear circumstances. Now, if I were the author of Hebrews chapter 11 this morning, I wouldn't have included half the people that are in Hebrews chapter 11. But do you know what? God's smarter than I am. And I thank God for that. Because when I look at David, this doesn't excuse a fall or a slip, but when I look at David, I look at Gideon, I look at Samson, I say, boy, if they could hang in there, I can hang in there too. If they can hang in there and their faith became reality, God can answer our prayers. In 2013, our church, when we first got there, there were 15 adults in the church. Only two of the families had jobs. I mean, real working jobs. Church had $20,000 in the bank, but they were $60,000 in the hole. I said, Lord, what in the world did you bring me to? And boy, God's done so many things. We started an RU program. We helped a lady, and her husband started attending church. And Roger came up to me and said, Pastor, it's hot in here. I said, yes, it is. He said, this building's crowded. I said, yes, it is. He said, what are you going to do about it, Pastor? I said, I don't know. What are you going to do about it? And he went back to his seat, wrote something down. I thought, well, that's great. You know, a check for a couple $100. It's going to cost us about $500,000 to double the auditorium. He walked back up and handed me a check for $75,000. And he said, Pastor, whatever more than that it costs, you come back to me and I'll take care of it. Now, I want to tell you something. That is the reality of faith. Substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen, the rest of faith, number 6. And finally, you read down through chapter 11, verse 39, and these all obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they, without us, should not be made perfect. Now, I'm not going to spend but a few moments, but in 2021, I got COVID like a lot of people did. But a couple months after I got better, I started having some strange symptoms. And I thought, this is a little bit weird. And long story short, I was had all of the side effects from COVID. I went from running 2 to 3 miles 3 days a week and exercising to barely being able to walk across the room. I went from 190 pounds down to below 160 pounds. I couldn't think straight, couldn't eat straight. A doctor, how many of you know when it says practicing, that's what they're doing? Practicing on you. They said, Mr. Montoro, there is nothing we can do for COVID. The science is so new, there's nothing we can do to help you. I said, I know, I can tell. He said, but I want you to take this medicine for your symptoms. So I'm starting to read what the side effects are. Blurred vision, you could lose your hearing permanently. I said, Doc, we ain't doing that one. So then he gave me another one and said, I want you to try this and see if it helps. It said, blood clots, heart attacks, not doing that one either. Gave me another medication, said this medication could cause you to have suicidal tendencies and suicidal thoughts. If you kill yourself, please contact your doctor. It didn't say that. There are times in your life where you're just going to have to rest in your faith. You're going to have to trust God to get you through it. And I'm not through it. 3 years, still dealing with some things. Thank God, it's not as bad as it was. But I was telling Brother John just before we came in, talking to a few of the men, every day I wake up with a headache, go to bed with a headache. If you've ever plugged a plug into the wall and got a shock from that plug, that's what my head feels like 24/7 for the last 3 years. It feels like that right now. I got a pain in my left shoulder last April. The doctor said, hey, let's take an x-ray. Other nice benefit of COVID is it causes latent things in your body to act up. I hadn't had a problem with arthritis since I was 38 years old. They took that x-ray and the COVID had caused the arthritis to completely eat my left socket up. When I get home, we're going to preach our Easter services, and Tuesday I go into the hospital and they're going to put a titanium shoulder in there. You know, when I heard that and met with the doctor last week, I said, praise the Lord. No, I didn't. I'm not looking forward to that. And I don't tell you those things. You don't need to feel sorry for me. God's grace is sufficient. I'm not looking forward to going under the surgeon's knife, but can I tell you this? I'd rather go under the surgeon's knife with faith in God than faith in something else. We're going to have to decide, as the Apostle Paul did, fight the good fight. And then when he got to 2 Timothy 4, he said, I've kept the faith. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I had much more to go through, but I want to take just a moment. How many of you today would say, Pastor Montoro, somewhere along the line, God spoke to me. I've got a mountain I'm facing, and I'm going to face that mountain with God's help this morning. Would you raise your hand so I could pray for you? Thank you. Thank you. Many are already coming to the front. You're welcome to come to the front, do business with God. But let me say for each one of us here, maybe you're here and you're in a comfort zone this morning. You've never thought about surrendering to God to be a pastor, a missionary, a pastor's wife. Now, I'm glad you're here at Bible College, but why don't you decide today, by faith, I'm going to turn my life over to the Lord Jesus Christ. If He wants me to pastor, I'm going to pastor. If He wants me to be a missionary, I'll surrender to that. If He wants me to be a pastor's wife, I'll surrender to that. Don't keep that decision to yourself. Share it with a staff member, a faculty member. Go forward in church and step out by faith and climb that mountain God has for you to climb.